Okay, let's get cracking. We are continuing to learn the first parak of Maseches Kilayim. Today we're going to be learning parak Aleph Mishnah Ches and parak Aleph Mishnah Tes as we finish up the first parak of Kilayim today. In the previous Mishnah, parak Aleph Mishnah Zayin, the Mishnah discussed for us and described for us the general principle and the general prohibition of a grafting as part of kilayim. You can't graft fruit trees onto fruit trees. You can't graft vegetable plants onto other vegetable plants. There was a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda regarding whether or not you can graft fruit trees onto plants or plants onto fruit trees and so on and so forth. But like we said, we paskin like the Tanakhama. You're not allowed to graft any fruit trees onto plants or vice versa. And that's what our Mishnah Parak Aleph Mishnah Ches is going to pick off, where we're discussing more specific situations where this grafting would be prohibited, would not be allowed as part of kilayim. Says the Mishnah, Ein notin yirakos b'soch sadon shel shikma. A person is not allowed to plant the vegetables in a sycamore stump. A lot of times they would cut the trees and they would have these big stumps, and we're talking about sycamore stump. You would not be allowed to graft plants onto such a stump, because again, you would be, like we're going to see, you'd be basically grafting a plant onto a tree, which according to the Tanakhama, how we paskin, is not allowed. Continues the Mishnah, Ein markivin pegum al gabi kido levana. A person is not allowed to plant this root, which is a very strong smelling type of plant, on top of a white cassia tree. Again, what exactly we're talking about, I'm not so sure. I'm not exactly an expert in various plants and trees, but the translation generally even is a white cassia tree. Mipnei, says the Mishnah, Mipnei shehu yarak be'ilam, because both of these cases would be considered a situation where you're grafting a vegetable plant onto a tree, which, like we said, according to the Tanakhama, is not allowed. Now, what's interesting is that generally speaking, when we're talking about grafting, the issue with grafting, the reason why grafting is not allowed, is because you're changing the produce. You're creating other, before you grafted, they were going to produce separate, disparate, different types of vegetables, and now, or fruits, and now they're creating some sort of a mixture, some sort of a combination, which according to the Torah is not allowed. Now, the case of this rue and the white cassia tree is different, because the rue is really it's a very strong-smelling type of plant. A plant that, generally speaking, as the Bartonura points out, is not something that people generally keep and generally want to hold on to. But the reason why a person is planting it onto this white cassia tree is because the white cassia tree will dispel some of this smell, will get rid of some of the smell. So it's not like it's produced, we're looking for this new, beautiful type of fruit or vegetable. We're just looking for the smell of the cassia tree to be less. And even so, says the Mishnah, it's still considered to be grafting, it's still considered to be kilayim, and it is prohibited. Continues the Mishnah, Ein notin yichur shel te'ena l'soch ha-chotzov. A person is not allowed to plant, to graft, the branch of a fig tree in a chotzov. A chotzov is like a type of an onion with an extremely, hot and, onion, right? Onion's a very sharp type of a taste. And why would you do this? Why would you plant or graft the branch of the fig tree in a chotzov, in this type of an onion? Says the Mishnah, Sheyehei Mikero, so that you're going to cool down the sharp, hot taste of the onion. And again, this is also a case, we're not looking to produce a different type of fruit or vegetable here. We're just looking to lower the, minimize the sharp taste of the onion, but nonetheless, it's considered to be kilayim, it's considered to be grafting, and it's not allowed. Continues the Mishnah, Ein tochavin zemora shel gefen l'soch avatiach. You're not allowed to insert the branch of a grapevine into a watermelon. Why would you ever put a grapevine, a branch, into a watermelon, a plant? Because you want to inject the water of the watermelon into the grape. You're not looking to make different types of grapes. You don't want watermelon grape production. You're not looking to create anything different and unique, but you simply think that the water of the watermelon, the liquids of the watermelon, will help nourish the grapevine, and that's why a person would do that. However, it's not allowed, says the Mishnah, mipnei shehu ilan b'yarak, because in all of these cases, it would be a case of grafting a tree onto a vegetable plant, which would not be allowed. And again, even though we're not looking to produce a different type of fruit or vegetable, you're just looking for one of the items to benefit from the other, you're still not allowed to do it. That would still be considered to be grafting and kilayim. Finishes off the Mishnah, Ein nosnin zera delaz l'socha chalamis shetehe mishmarto. You're not allowed to graft the seed of a gourd into a mallow plant. Again, exactly what these plants are, not 100% sure, but you can't plant the seed of a gourd in a mallow plant. Shetehe mishmarto, why would you do that? Because the mallow plant would often protect the gourd, right? It needs a little bit of protection, and again, you're not looking to produce anything different, you're simply looking to protect the plant that you have, but nonetheless, it's not allowed. Mipnei shehu yarak biyarak, because that would be a case of grafting one vegetable onto another vegetable, which would be prohibited as well. So again, so this Mishnah simply gave us different examples of the previous Mishnah where the halachas of grafting would apply. Now we're going to finish off the Perek with Perek Aleph Mishnah Tes as we discuss a situation where we're discussing burying vegetables for storage. Remember, we're not looking to plant anything, we're simply looking, a lot of times in those, they didn't have, you know, nice cabinets like we do today, or nice cellars in their basement to hold on to their various produce. So we're discussing a case of person storing their vegetables in the ground. Says the Mishnah, Hatomein lefes utzenonos tachas hagaf. And a person would be allowed to, if a person buries his turnip or his radish or really any vegetables that are bundled up, right? We're not talking about one that might might ultimately allow for more to be grown and more planted. We're talking about bundles of turnips, bundles of radish, really any bundles of vegetables at all under a grapevine, says the Mishnah. Im hayu miktsas olav megulin. If some of them, if at least a small portion of these vegetables are revealed, are seen from above ground, they're not all completely underground, they're a little bit visible, says the Mishnah. Eino choshesh lo mishum kilayim. There's no concern of kilayim, number one, because the only concern would be if you were trying to grow these vegetables near the grapevine, but you have bundles and some of them are seen from the ground, that's certainly not going to sprout, that's certainly not going to grow, and therefore the issur of kilayim wouldn't apply. Now we're going to give a list of other things, of other halachos that wouldn't apply as well. Velo mishum shvi'is, there's no issur, and we know shvi'is referring to the Shemitah year. Normally you can't plant during the Shemitah year, but again, here we're just looking to store things under the ground. There's nothing that's going to be planted on the field, and it's visible, so certainly nothing's going to grow. Velo mishum maestros, and when we take them out of the storage, there's certainly no obligation to separate miser, trumos, and misers, because again, nothing was planted. These are items that were simply being stored underground. Vinitolim b'Shabbos, and you can certainly take them out on Shabbos as well. You're not being picked from the ground. You're not picking anything on Shabbos, which would not be allowed. You're simply taking them out of the ground because that's where they were being stored. Now the Mishnah is going to continue in line discussing various types of kilayim, what would be considered kilayim. Says the Mishnah, Hazorea chita usora ka'achas. We're going to see machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the halacha, regarding the prohibition of kilayim. Says the Tanakhama that if you were to plant wheat and barley together, hareza kilayim, that would be considered kilayim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Eino kilayim, says Rabbi Yehuda. This would not be considered to be kilayim for you to plant wheat and barley together. Achi Yehu shtei chitim u'seor, unless you have two pieces of wheat and barley, or ochita u'shtei seorim, or you have one grain of wheat and two pieces of barley, ochita u'seor v'kusemes, or you have one strand of wheat, one grain of barley, and one grain of spelt, kusemes. You have to have three, but the point according to Rabbi Yehuda is you have to have three, pieces, three grains, in order for there to be a prohibition of kilayim. What are they arguing about? Whether it's just wheat and barley, or if there's an additional grain. So as the Bartanura point out, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, when describing this Isra of Kilayim, Sadcha lo tizra kilayim, in your field, you can't plant kilayim. So the question is, what constitutes, what's considered to be a field? According to the Tana Kama, all you do, you have land. Any amount of land is considered to be a field. And therefore, land plus wheat and barley would be considered to be kilayim, because you have a field and now you're planting wheat and barley together, that would be considered to be kilayim. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not enough for there to be land to constitute, to be considered a field. Rather, you need something growing there also. That's why he says you have to have two grains of wheat or two barley and one wheat and so on and so forth. Because if you have to have three items. If you have one grain of wheat that's growing plus wheat and barley, then you have the wheat growing plus two things that are kilayim, that would be kilayim. Or you have one thing of wheat that's growing and two barleys. So again, you have three items that are growing. One of the barleys is going to be what allows it to be a field. And then you have wheat and barley growing together. That would be considered to be kilayim. Or again, or you have wheat, the barley, and spelt. So you have one of those items that creates the field aspect, the sadeh, and the other two items that would be considered a field. So again, it's a machlokas of how you have a field. When are we considered to have a field in order to allow the halacha of kilayim to take effect. Quick review. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches, discussed the more specific situations where grafting would not be allowed in all of our cases, whether it became to a tree onto a tree, a vegetable onto a vegetable, or a vegetable onto a tree, and so on and so forth, various cases and situations. And the general principle was that even if you're not looking to create a different product, even if you're not looking to create a different type of produce, as long as one is benefiting the other, that would not be allowed. You just want the moisture, you just want the protection, and so on, that would not work, and that would be considered to be kilayim. And then Perek Aleph Mishnah Tes discussed the situation where a person looking to simply bury various bundles of vegetables, and we said that as long as some of them are revealed, are visible from the ground, and you can see them, then it would not be kilayim. It wouldn't be, there would be no isser of the shemitah. There'd be no halacha of needing to take ma'aser trumas and ma'aseros when you separate them and when you take them out of the storage, and you'd be able to pick them up on Shabbos as well. And then the parak simply ended with a machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda concerning kilayim in general. When does kilayim take effect? So according to the Chachamim, according to the Tana Kama, all you need is two different types of grains or vegetables and so on that are being planted next to each other. As long as they're on a plot of land, that would be considered to be the Isser of Kilayim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you need at least one additional thing growing to give it the status of a field. And then once it has that additional item, then it has spelt, or then it has barley and wheat, and so on and so forth. Then, and only then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would the halacha of kilayim apply. And we, of course, paskin, like the first opinion of the Tana Kama, all you need is two items growing with each other, and that would allow the prohibition of kilayim to take hold. Have a great day.